Going to be having a talk to a good hearty brother. We're going to catch up with Arona, and he is out actually at the real tip of the iceberg, what I call it, the canary in the coal mine, and that is the paru, the rubbish, the litter on the ground. And just, you know, for me, it is the gateway drug to beautiful kaitiaki mahi environmental work. And he joins me now. Kia ora.
Kia ora, kia ora, kiri. Ngā mihi.
Ah, ngā mihi hoki ki a koe, brother. Now, am I pronouncing your name right? Is it
yes, Arona?
Arona.
Yes.
Arona. Nei te mihi, nei te mihi. So, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me tonight. We've been planning this for a little while, and we're connected on Facebook because, you know, we're in the same realm. We're doing the same kind of mahi, so... Can I start by asking you, please, to introduce yourself and tell me what your most powerful moment in out with Papatūānuku has been?
Yeah, kia ora, my name's Arona Kirei. Have a beautiful family who have helped me to be who I am today, and just insane that, you know, it takes a village to raise someone, you know, and I fortunately have that with not just my whānau, but also with my own whānau, my own children as well. And they have inspired me as well to do the mahi that we've been doing alongside you, Kiri. And that's, you know, whakapai te whenua, whakapaipai te whenua to clean up all the rubbish. And that didn't take place until made a decision to, hey, he's a kaupapa, I saw your kaupapa, and just started to follow that, saw some stuff you were doing it down in the rivers, and thought, oh, geez, you know, if she can do that, then this will be a tohu to pick up and just help. So we just started cleaning, chucking rubbish from the back of my ute, and then people started to notice it and started to allow us to dump our rubbish, and then we started getting bigger, and then I think we've done all up maybe about 11 tons of rubbish, excess rubbish, along the sides of the roads, all up.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so we've been taking, and then one of the local entities has helped us, and we're able to use trailers and go and collect huge sums of rubbish. I mean, we're talking probably a ton and a half at a time, and just me and my kids at first, and then other people jumping in on top of that, and then we started in the back streets of Kawerau, and then Rotorua, and then Te Puke, noticing all the dump areas, and so you start to become accustomed and get quite well known with those areas, and just chuck it on the back of the truck, take it to the dump. And you know, we're fortunate that people have allowed us to dump that rubbish at the transfer station, so we were able to do that as well. And so it's been quite powerful, Kitty, seeing what you're doing and just jumping on board. And you know, if we could just make one area clean, that's all it takes, really.
Aww.
But see, people just dumping their rubbish. I don't know why they are dumping it on sides of the road, at the back parts of the bush area, but they're doing it, so that's where you'll find us.
Oh, my brother, I'll have to come and join you. I have to come. I got a bit emotional when you were talking there because, I hoped that I would be able to inspire some other people or encourage some other people to, you know, get out there and do the mahi. But so I'm very humbled that, you know, I'm almost speechless, but that's not a good place to be on radio, so I'll pull myself together. But yeah, thank you so much. And I was thinking while you were talking, I was like, wow, actually now you've done more than me. I don't even know if I'd have picked up 11 tons. I just, you know, I just do a little bit, but I guess we all have our different areas of strength, eh? And one of mine is, yeah, I can brave it online, and I can, you know, put a camera on and get the message out that way. But actually, brother, you, your tamariki and your whānau have probably done so much more for the whenua than I have. So I want to mihi to you. And not only that, but you yourself, your impact on others and your ability to just grow. It's like we're the best virus. We just, you know, we just get bigger and bigger and bigger and connect more and more and more with our whānau. So, I want to mihi to you. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Can you tell me about your tamariki and, you know, some of the kōrero that they share with you when they see their papa doing this mahi?
Well, to be honest, at the beginning, I wasn't a very good example for my tamariki. Quite a hard man. But in saying that, was able to utilize, you know, something in my life changed. And so I had to go with the changes. And then I see my tamariki walking through with me. And, you know, that they inspired me. They became my teachers. They become my inspiration. And utilizing that influence, knowing that, you know, it works both ways. You're not just your father's. Your sons and daughters, hero, but they also become yours when they stand up. Mm. And so they become like a role model for me. Seeing them stand was able to make me stand again. And with their encouragement and mine together, we were able to work together. And some of the whakaaro that comes from them is just, let's just do it. Mm. You know, we haven't done this stuff before, let's just do it, you know, and because my kids went to Ruamata and Roto Iti Kura. They're endowed in Te Reo Māori, Te Ao Māori. It's only fitting that they utilising kaupapa Māori, and that's been instilled into them and wanting to do it themselves, you know. And so, you know, they just get on board, and we've been doing that, cleaning up our whenua since I spoke with you the very first time, and it's been quite inspiring for me to see my own children inspiring me to do this mahi. And so their words have been, just let's just do it. The more we do it, the better we'll become at it, the cleaner our whenua, the cleaner our streams. They just want our streams to go back to the way they used to be. You know, they want them cleaned up, they want kai to be back in there. And so, you know, we know our tupuna, there was always kaura, there was always tuna in the rivers, and that, I think that's the reflection they have from their Te Ao Māori perspective. Hopefully that answers you, Kitty.
Oh, beautifully. Very much so. And, you know, I can relate to that feeling of pride in our tamariki and that they are our teachers. My little fella, Matiaha, he was a toddler when I started. He's 15 now. And I remember when we'd go into town, we had to pull him away from the gutters. If, you know, I'm quickly trying to go to the bank or to the supermarket or something, we had to pull him away because every single smoke butt, every single bit of chippy wrapper or pie wrapper or whatever was in the gutter, he'd say, "Mama, rubbish, mama, paru paru," and I'd have to stop and pick it up because I'm thinking, you know, I can't not do this in front of my tamaiti because now they're calling me out on it, saying, "Well, mum, if you say you're going to pick up rubbish, then there's a piece." So we actually had to, you know, if I'm in a hurry, I can't stop. And that was, you know, but it's a fond memory that I have now that our tamariki, they actually become more powerful, stronger, committed kaitiaki than us ourselves, I find. And so beautiful. And mihi ki a koe me o tamariki. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the places that you are going and some of the things that you're finding when you're there?
So I think there's the motorway, well, the new motorway from Mauria through to Te Puke.
Yes.
So going that back road, and then and there you'll find, you know, I'm glad I got hearty sons because they're able to lift the heavy stuff like motors. So we found engines, car parts, pakaru cars.
Chang
and
guys,
the stuff we can put on our trailers, we just throw them on the back end. You know, on the back of the trailer, lot of rubbish in the back parts there, especially in the Anaheres. If you drive along, there's some of those old roads along there where they dump all the old asphalt, and if you go a bit further behind the asphalt piles, there's paru paru everywhere.
It's so terrible, You know, and for me, that always shows that people have actually, they've actually planned that. It hasn't just fallen off the back or, you know, whoopsie. It's they've actually gone out there on purpose, knowing that, you know, they're not going to be seen. And I, you know, it boggles my mind that they can be so uncaring and do so much damage. And sometimes I find things like, you know, big containers of oil that they've just thrown there or paint. And they do that.
Batteries.
You know, and so they're not, you know, they're not just, I mean, like a tied up bag of household rubbish is actually my favorite thing to find, because at least it's tied up. At least it hasn't gone everywhere. At least they haven't thrown it out, you know, all over the place. And it's easy, just pick it up, put it on the back. But these ones that go out and they throw those chemical type stuff out, that's just so much harder because it gets into the whenua, kills all of the animals, and it's so much harder to clean up. But it's incredible what we find, eh? Yeah, that's not the one. It's not the one. And dangerous. Dangerous.
You can actually dump those at the dump. They take car batteries, but people dump them out there thinking, I don't know what they're thinking, to be honest, but
You
can actually dump those at the refuse station and they just pile them up. And you know, we're finding, you know, they see us coming and we're like the local, here they are again.
I want to mihi to the people over there with the, in the council or at that landfill that, you know, and that's always wonderful when you get that collaboration and that tautoko from councils that just see you actually doing, you're doing them a favour and you're doing the mahi normally for no cost to yourself, you know, if for them. And so I just also want to commend all of the councils around the motu that are supporting our kaitiaki out there who give of themselves and their time and their resource to go and do this. So, yeah, but shout out to all of the councils that are helping as well. Brother, can you... I'll ask you a couple more questions, and I'd like to get now to some of the, you know, some of the profound type movement, the shift that's happened with you since you've started this mahi, if you don't mind. Only what you're comfortable sharing, because, you know, it's really healing mahi. That's what I've found. So I'll make myself vulnerable first. And you can just share whatever you feel like sharing. So no pressure. So I was depressed. I was had, you know, that's some mental health issues. So I was moke moke for my whānau. I've just broken up with my marriage. I didn't have any formal education or any career, no whare, no savings, you know, like I was smell of an oily rag, wait for my next payment to come in. And really, my life just collapsed. And at that time, I was living around the Springfield area in Rotorua, or Whakarewarewa area, to be more specific, and found these mud pools across from Te Puia, Māori Arts and Crafts Institute. And just because I didn't feel like I, you know, had a home as such here, that became my home. That became my space where I could go, I could sit down there, I could hide in the bushes, hear all the world going past, no one could see that I was there. And I just would sit there and watch these mud pools, marangai, I found out the name of these pools were, and just watch the bubbling and watch the manu dancing in the steam and the sun come up. And I was there for months and months, so I saw it change over the seasons. And there, you know, something very beautiful and profound happened to me there in that nothingness. my eyes opened and I saw everything. You know, the little insects which I'd looked past before, they were my best friends. It was like me and the insect there. And I was like, oh, hey, buddy, you know, it's me and you, bro. And so it was just such a deeper connection when all of my world was stripped away, all of the adult life, all of the material things, even, you know, my connections with people stripped away, and it was just me and nothing else. And that was when I fell in love with Papatūānuku Anuku. I felt this connection. I felt her Māori very deeply. And then I saw the rubbish. So the connection with Papatūānuku came first, the eyes got opened, the Māori connected in, then I saw the rubbish, and then I've never stopped, because I made a promise to Papatūānuku that she had helped to heal me. You know, she was very therapeutic, just to go and sit by her side and lay down on her and breathe her in and feel her warmth. And so I made a promise I would try to help heal her, because she had helped to heal me. Well, she had healed me. And I mean, look at my life now. It's all because of Papatūānuku, and I think her looking after me too. So what kind of experience have you felt in terms of just the connection with the taiao? And you know, you don't have to share that kind of depth, but just, you know, how it's moved you to connect more and to stand as tangata whenua in your kaitiakitanga.
Yeah, shucks. Man, that your story is powerful. And
so is yours, my brother. So is yours. But you don't have to, you know, we don't have to go deep. You can just say, I enjoy it.
That's enough. The thing is, for me, it was a coming a time in my life where I was a little bit more. I just come out of hospital, to be honest, and I thought I was on my last legs. And, you know, I thought, well, if this is going to be the end of me, I looked the same thing, looked out that hospital window in Rotorua, looked at the beautiful trees during the winter, and then just made a decision, well, I might as well give back to you, to our land, and if this is my last breath, then I might as well give my last breath to Tina Papatūānuku. And so since then, I was able to get outside and do the same thing. It's actually healed me as well. To be honest, I'm back on my whole water journey, taking care of myself a lot better now, because I know when you do something for, especially our whenua, in return, it changes how you see yourself. Mm. And seeing that we're making a little scratch in the surface, it sort of gave me hope for myself as well. Because, you know, when you're going through stuff, especially, you know, like you said, depression, anxiety, stuff, it gets on top of you and you let things take you down a track you don't want to be down, and just the mere fact we were cleaning up our Papatūānuku could see the land healing, could see it clearing, like physically clearing before your eyes, and seeing things change in those spots where there was rubbish, it's come back to greenery now. And then doing that and seeing the flowers go there, you know, I know, no, it sounds like cliche, but when you see the whenua go from brown and dead to back to green, it changes you. And so we've been seeing that, I've been seeing that personally in the journeys, that when we return to the spots that we've cleaned up, they've remained clean, and you can see the greenery coming back. And that sort of was a reflection of me, you know, when I was in a place where trauma hit me, I felt like that. I felt dead, desolate, and not worthy. And seeing the whenua come back to life, and seeing the greenery come back, and now I've got green hands, to be honest. Kiri, my hands are green now, and, you know, we're touching plants. Our house is full of overgrown plants. It's because you just want to see it healthy again, mm-hmm. you know, and it takes a huge reflection in your own life that when you see something else that you've had come back to health, that you want that for yourself personally. And so that's my journey at the moment. It's encouraged me to have the gym again and, you know, get me back on track again. And, you know, my kids are all training, so they're training around me. So
that's beautiful. That's beautiful.